Hello.
And we're on.
And we're back. Turn tape off.
You survived the Apple store?
I did. I even recorded a little podcast about it on an old Sony Ericsson phone. I keep recording things, 15-year-old devices. And then I have to spend 3 hours trying to figure out how to get the recording off of there.
That's good, though. That's your wheelhouse. You're very good at that stuff. It's a challenge.
Yes. I'll advertise in Craigslist.
Who? Okay.
All right.
Well, this is podcast number 2 on the Fitness Unleashed with Sean podcast. Wait, is that what it's called? Yeah, Fitness Unleashed with Sean. We're still in the beginning stages, but I think looking back later on, we'll be like, oh, that was the best starting off the podcast. And you're hearing me speak with Stefan again, best
Hello.
Friend. That's right. Stefan up in Wisconsin. I'm out here in the mountains of Colorado where it's currently thundering and raining a little bit. But we decided that Stefan, because we have such a long history, we've done so many things together. And also so many things related to my brand, Sean Vieg Fitness, and everything related to it, that he is definitely going to be a reoccurring guest.
Hey-o!
Ed, like McMahon, Ed McMahon Stefan.
Exactly. Or Seinfeld. We referenced Seinfeld in the first podcast. I could be like Newman for Kramer when he's sitting yep. there with talking about waxed beans.
The Merv Griffin show.
That's right. Thank you.
We've officially bottomed out. Have to unplug all the phones and retool. And by the way, before we get more into this conversation, the description for this podcast, whenever Stefan's on, I'll link. He has a podcast too, which he's talked about. We'll link that down there. You can check out his utterances and recordings on there about his life and tech things and everything else.
Thank you for doing that. Sorry, we had an interruption there. My daughter came down.
Does she want to be on the show too?
Do you want to be on the show? She's saying no.
Oh, very good. Maybe we'll get your because as we said before, your son is my godson. So he can come on sometime, talk about what it's like to be the godson of Sean Vieg.
Yes, and it's a big influence. Right now he's on the jump rope and dribbling 2 basketballs. He's doing a workout.
All at once.
Outside. Jump rope is outside. Thank you. We don't jump rope inside. Come on. What's wrong with you people?
Exactly. So what are we talking about today? We have a fun topic here that we kind of hit on a lot in our own conversations.
Yeah, fitness evolution. That's what I called it. I don't know what you're calling
it. I wrote out some notes, podcast with Stefan, our stages of training, fitness training, whether it's child, junior high school, college. I mean, you and I are both in our 40s. I know that's a shock to most people. What? But we are in our 40s, so also talking about training into the 40s. But, you know, I was making notes out for this one, and that's a big subject. Well, we might just talk about a little of this, maybe the younger years first, and then expand on it later, the old later years.
Absolutely. Yeah, I definitely have some insight to the or input into the kid, because I do have 2 kids, and they've gone through gym class or Phi-Ed, or they have different names. They don't use gym or Phi-Ed. I forget what they use it, but it's a different naming convention in our school systems. Like, be happy that we have it every day. Some gyms, you know, some classes don't even have gym or Phi-Ed on a daily basis, which is really sad.
Did we?
Yeah, we had it every day. Yeah, I think we did.
Okay. I mean, I loved Phi-Ed class, especially when we would play field hockey, actually in the gym. That was my favorite.
Yeah, that was elementary school and middle school. Middle school, I remember fond memories of the hockey, and then we played broom ball. Remember that one?
Yeah.
When we would play at the hockey rink, so many people got hurt. You could never do that now because there's like 3 kids in one game that slipped and hit the back of their head on the ice. You could never do that now.
Wow. Wearing shoes?
Yeah, just wearing shoes and running on ice with sticks. It's like, what could go wrong?
Oh, yeah, that's the classic.
80s, the 80s, yeah, that's
yeah, the always comes back to the 80s. Like, yeah, it's the 80s. We could do that. They could do that.
I know, and no, there was no concussion protocol. It's like, He'll be okay. Just leave him alone. And there's a kid sitting in the corner like, oh, you know.
It's probably so Tony. No, I won't say any names. Never mind. Yeah, we'll use first names. Maybe Steve or Tony. That's about it. Patent pending. I don't want any. Hey, that was me. And, you know, I don't appreciate you talking about my head getting whacked.
Exactly. But, yeah, I think we start off with Fayed or gym class. What do you think? I think that's listening to this.
Well, I was even, you know, thinking back, as I said, all right, one thing that you and I have spoken about is how to speak better on a podcast. I want to stop saying, you know, maybe once for every 20 minutes. I'll work on that, you know, because I'm a theater person. I did theater and speech and all that. I want to eliminate those empty calorie words. But I go back to thinking about, and I've talked about this in my videos and in my classes too so much, is that fitness for me is playing. It's playing outside. I think back to when I grew up in Southern California, I would climb, we had a tree in our yard all the time. I would just climb the tree constantly, do that or run up and down the block or ride my bike up and down the block.
Yeah, it's fitness was, especially in summertime, you would leave the house at about 8 in the morning and you wouldn't probably return till like 6.
No.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You'd be out there with your bike, all the things you would do. You didn't need a machine or anything. It was just all natural. Either you're biking, walking, running, playing with your friends, swimming, going to the pool all the time. It was fantastic.
And at the time, you didn't think, oh, I'm exercising. You know, oh, I'm going to do this because it's good for my heart. I'm going to do this because I need to do some interval training. Your friends and you would just run back and forth, play football, and it was natural, but you enjoyed it so much. You had to move. You had to play. You had to interact all the time, interacting with other kids.
When we skateboarded, we would be out for like 5-6 hours at a time, and the nutrition, there was no nutrition. It's like, oh, let's go to the IGA and get some like Jawbreakers and some soda or something. You know,
Funyuns. Funyuns was it. Oh, there's onions in these. That's good. Funyuns.
I got my vegetables for the day. Excellent.
Check. That is true. I think about skateboarding. Skateboarding was always freedom to me. We would watch Thrash in some of the movies and stuff, and you would get on that little slab, you know, 7-ply board with the trucks on it and the skates, and you would decorate yourself. And you would say goodbye to your mom and dad or whatever. You would take off and you would go off for many, many hours on that little board. It was more of a symbol, I guess, than anything else. But do you think skateboard is a workout?
I think so. Think of your core when you're twisting and in your legs. I mean, I wasn't coordinated enough, I guess, to switch legs. So my right leg was probably really, really strong.
You had a huge Popeye right leg.
Yeah, just from, you know, the pushing. But if you think about it, if you treated it like a fitness object, you'd be like, well, let's work on the left leg now. We've had enough of the right, you know.
Yeah, you want to be ambidextrous and keep switching sides.
I couldn't do that. Yeah, you were a goofy footer. I was regular foot. You were...
Yeah, a goofy footer, I put my right foot on the back of the board and propelled forward with my left foot. You were, what do you call it, normal?
Natural.
Natural, so you was your left foot on the front?
Yes, non-freak.
That's right. Who's that blonde kid with the bandaged up, you know, Van shoes on over there? Yes. I don't know why I was goofy footed. I didn't plan it. You get a skateboard and you go. And that's what you do. And I was always goofy foot. I managed to make it work. It's kind of similar when you and I play tennis. I play tennis for a long time. I always do two-handed forehands.
Oh. Yeah, I always did singles. But going back to the goofy footing, the first time I ever snowboarded, I was in Colorado. And the guy's like, are you goofy footed? And I looked down at my feet. And I'm like, I don't think so. I totally forgot what that meant. Like, which way are we setting? What kind of board are we giving you? You know, I had no idea. I'm like, I guess. And I didn't know what to call it either. I'm like, I go the other way.
I'm natural. Hey, I'm not goofy, but everyone does like Goofy from Disney.
Yeah.
Which is very true. But yeah, the stages of training, running, skating. When we lived out in the country, moved to Wisconsin in 1979, and we lived out in the country about like 5 or 6 miles from town. But I went through a phase where I was getting a little older, and I was tired of being way out there. So my parents would just drop me off in town on my bike, and I would have a lunch, and I would spend like the afternoons there, many hours, biking around, visiting friends, and basically playing. I guess, you know, each person's house you would go to, you would do something different. Some friends we know don't like to go outside; they like to stay inside in their basements and watch television. But other friends want to go out and play sports, go out and be active and do something.
Yeah, we'll call him Crazy Tony for all the listeners at home. Basement Tony.
Well, there was a few. I'm thinking of a couple other good friends of mine who were personality types. They would rather sit inside and, hey, let's watch Thundar the Barbarian. And I would start getting antsy because I always wanted to be outside.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The big one for us in school, switching gears from summer to school time, was the in grade school was either the monkey bar situation where you're, you know, everyone's climbing on that and it's so dangerous. Like, I don't like my child youngest that's in grade school, they don't have any of that equipment. And if they do have anything remotely close to that, there's all this padding, this foam rubber padding. We had it like under blacktop. It was like old school, baby.
I don't remember anyone being hurt. I do remember Darren, the merry-go-round, which are both gone now for the elementary school, it fell on him.
Yeah,
so maybe that was a red flag. It came out, and what's wrong with Darren? And he's underneath the merry-go-round going, oh, my leg, you know.
I know. Yeah, those are great. You don't see, those don't exist anymore in any parks with kids. They just they're just not there. I mean, swings I think are kind of dangerous. You know, I've seen some incidents with my kids on those, but swings still are very popular. But the merry-go-round's gone, the monkey bars are gone, all replaced with very safe things, which is good. I appreciate it as a parent. But the other big one for school, grade school, was like open field soccer or open field like flag football or touch football, and just getting just crazy with it. You know, I remember like trying to hustle and like eat your food really fast and like you got to get out there. The big game's on.
Oh, it was so exciting because you go everyone out in the field. I mean, you do impromptu games like tag and stuff that you play football, but it was always running, stopping running. Maybe tackling. Sometimes you want to do tackling. And I always think about it in terms of the fitness I do now, what I teach and what I do, all the body weight calisthenics. It's all the same stuff. It's just practical. It's all put into – it's totally functional and practical. And, again, you don't think of it as I'm going to go exercise because I haven't exercised in a while. It's nonstop. Like, you can't stop yourself from doing it. It's pure joy, really.
Well, actually, it's like when you were in grade school, it's that girl – I was told she had cooties, and she's coming at me.
That's right. You don't want the cooties.
You got to have short bursts. You know what I mean? And now you'd be like sprinting or doing like mountain climbers or some kind of like burpee thing.
To avoid the cootie. I do that with Addie, my dog. She'll give me cooties or worse. And you have to employ a very sophisticated kind of plank, duck, and cover routine. And a burping and gone.
Exactly. So, thinking back as a child, you didn't think of it as exercise, but what a workout. And those lunchtime exercises were probably like, 40 minutes? It was under an hour, but you had like so many breaks. You had three recesses, right? And the big one was lunch. That was the big one. That was the one you were all waiting for. You know?
Well, lunch depended, as you said. You had a certain amount of time, so if you could eat your food as fast as possible, you'd go outside and play. And, you know, we grew up, this is Wisconsin, so you had some nice weather, but then the activities totally changed.
Oh, winter was amazing.
When winter came, because I remember they would plow, and that's how I chipped my front tooth. I'm touching it right now. It's filled in, I think. but, you know, they do the big plow, the plows, the pickup trucks with the plows in front. Should I say plow one more time?
And yeah, Mr. Plow.
Mr. Plow. Okay, Homer. And then they would push, you know, all the snow off the playground area, the blacktop, onto the side. So you have these big mounds you could play on. And you would play King of the Hill and everything. And I remember it was Corey, won't say last name. Corey, we'll say Corey Webster from the movie Thrashing. We keep coming back to that. But we were like wrestling, you know, having a good time. And I think his elbow nailed me right in the mouth and I chipped my tooth. But it was so fun because the snow it's kind of like the playgrounds now. It acts as a nice little buffer, an insulation buffer. So you can throw someone down. They just land in the snow. It's like in Christmas Story when they go down the big slide in the cotton.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this is lovely.
And then he crawls back up to tell him what he wants. And then he gives him the old Santa boot.
The old Santa boot.
Yeah, yeah, the old Santa boot.
Corey gave me the elbow.
Yeah, the old mounds of snow. And then they had the ice rink, too. Can you imagine? Now going out, kids just don't have that opportunity. You could skate, you could ice skate at lunch.
Wow.
That was just,
our hockey rink, it was a triangle. There were corners initially.
It was a square.
Well, square, but it had right angles on each corner. So
yes.
If the puck went in there and you're all feeding, you know, it's a feeding frenzy, it could stay in there for 10 minutes. Because it would get smushed in the angle there. And like, okay, let's call the game off. We'll have Black River Falls come back next week and beat us 22-0, which they did beat us 22-0 our first year of hockey. That's a whole other story.
That could almost be like a reference to The Simpsons when they're showing the commentators talk about like soccer and how boring it is. Oh, it's back there. It's back there. And then if you flash to our hockey rink it's actually a rectangle, not a square. But if you got into that corner, it could be 5 minutes before you get the puck out. Because it's a bloodbath back there. You know, your mites and squirts. What is that, like first through third grade?
Yeah, mites was 5 years old. I when I go home, I always like to film right on Lake Neshonoc. And I mentioned to the camera, that's where we all learned how to skate was Lake Neshonoc. It was frozen over in the winter, of course. And we're all out there falling all over the place with our leggings and breezers. And I had just come from California. I mean, I was only like 4 or 5 years. I was 5 years old when I started that. But, you know, that's where we learned how to skate was on the lake.
And talk about a workout. I mean, just being out there and surviving it, you probably burn 500 calories.
Well, you fall all the time. I took snowboarding lessons a few years ago in Whitefish, Montana, and I fell for about 5 hours. And that exhausted me. I think I got sick afterwards. It was the falling. But, I mean, everyone says, well, you got to fall, get up, fall off the horse. It's true. After a while, you stop falling.
The snowboard falling exercise routine part one.
I was just miserable after a while. I'm like, look, I lived in Florida at the time. Like, when am I going to snowboard? I really wanted to learn, but I'm in Florida. I'll have to play it on the Wii or something.
Yeah, you probably forgot you were goofy-footed and you're strapped in wrong.
I probably would. Somebody help me.
Going backwards. But do you want to transition to the next get out of childhood and maybe go to middle school, high school area?
Well, we've been kind of jumping around, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I didn't know how.
Well, let me look at my notes here. I mean, I wrote down so much stuff. But, yeah, a lot of it was running, and that's my fitness philosophy. I'll say it one more time because I say it, you know, I think I say it a lot, but maybe it's in a couple videos and people don't see them. But fitness for me now always roots back to childhood and playing, whether it's recess, whether it's the hockey rink, falling down on Lake Neshonoc. It's about playing. It's about movement and motion and being in the moment. That's a big one.
Yeah. And then you get it's kind of the middle school area and everyone's so self-conscious of everything. You know what I mean? You want to be cool, but you know, how do you incorporate fitness with being cool?
Yeah. Well, junior high is when like you played football. That's when football started. I mean, we played flag football, of course, which was great, but there's no tackling. You just grab the flag. But
I love that picture you have of us playing flag football. What team were we? Were we Linda's?
Oh, I have that upstairs in my loft. My dad was the coach.
Yeah, he was the mastermind behind our championship.
I know. It's the greatest photo. It's on Facebook. And it's, of course, we're all giving each other bunny ears and we're just all laughing and having.
Wait a minute. I think I'm getting all the bunny ears. I'm like in the middle of the photo and
everyone's.
I didn't know the joke at the time.
Are they allowed to do that at your children's school? Can they do bunny ears?
I think so. I don't think it offends too many rabbits, but
well, it also means it's a peace sign too. So bunnies and peace. Everyone likes both of those.
Oh, well, I could see a parent going, "Oh, that's a reference to Playboy magazine or something." You could see that. But anyway, moving on.
We'll do Playboy in another podcast. That's right.
Oh, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. Oh,
okay.
We were talking about you started because you played I never played tackle football unless it was recreational, but that's seventh grade was when football started, right?
Yeah, seventh grade, and we were the generic team. So what that means is our entire uniform was white, and we had numbers. That was it. The helmet right. was white. The shirt was white.
No trademarks.
I know, and the shirt wasn't like – it was long sleeve for some reason. It was the hardest thing to get on for wearing shoulder pads. The pants were white. And I remember I showed up with like black high top shoes, and the gym teacher slash football coach didn't like that. I'm like, well, what do you? He's like, well, don't you have any white shoes? I was like, what's this deal with the whole white uniform? But anyway, that was the first time we played tackle football, and I just remember everyone trying to feel out their positions, and they kind of sorted us out like who had any ability to or coordination. Basically, who could dance and who couldn't dance. So if you could dance, you could either be a wide receiver, a running back, or the quarterback. Kind of like – so the gym teacher played a pivotal role because he knew who had coordination because he did all the dance stuff. Remember all the dancing in gym class?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, they're scouting. You know if he's the coach, he's like, well, I want to see what these guys are capable of, how they can react on the field.
Right, who's graceful on their feet and who is not? So it's because everybody's the same size. You can't be like, well, you're going to be an offensive tackle. Everyone's the same size. Back in the 80s, no one was like really huge or, you know, everyone was really proportionate.
We didn't have a weight room in junior high. The middle school, no. I don't know about now, but the high school definitely, but and we'll get to that in a little bit. But the middle school, there was no weight training. What I was going to ask you because – I didn't play the tackle football. What was your training? Like your practice in seventh grade?
A lot of running. So oddly enough, if anybody's familiar with the West Salem football field, that's currently the varsity field, was our practice facility when we were in middle school, and it wasn't the varsity field. So it was inside the track.
Yeah.
And our track was a cinder track, which means it was like, it's like coal. I don't know the best way to describe it. It was like black rocks. Mm-hmm. And we had to run all the time with our equipment on. That was the training for it. Was just the coach loved to just run. Run a 400 with football gear on. And it was like August or September. It was so hot.
Well, this is a training. But would you also maybe like squats or push-ups or burpees,
burpees. I don't think it was called burpees. We did that, and then
I think they're called squat thrusts, weren't they? Or
I think they're called squat thrusts, and then we did other things where you got down in like the four-point stance, and then you would like roll, get up, and then like hit this dummy, and
yeah,
then
the roll. Dummies.
Yeah, you would like log roll, and then get back up and hit the dummy again. That was. It's kind of like a burpee, but you're throwing all your energy into this dummy. So it was really exhausting, you know, because you had never done that before as a child. When would you ever do that motion, right? Like, so it's really, I remember doing that. I'm like, when am I going to be doing this in the game? Let's throw a bomb, you know, let's throw a
well, yeah. Yeah, you want to do the big plays all the time. Yeah. But I guess, you know, in seventh grade football, you're actually learning the science behind football and the technique and all the different kinds of plays and the
keeping low center of gravity, all that stuff. So I think in a way, looking back, it was probably smart to run and to do that log rolling thing and keeping your balance.
It's you know, I like to talk to you about it because I like to put it into my own videos, but it's, I always think of the word to be able to adaptability. And I guess that would help the coach really decide what kind of positions each person should play.
Well, yeah, you can tell a lot from a seventh grader. If you go, okay, I want you to hit this, roll, do a log roll, and then jump up and hit this again, and then do it like five times. A lot of guys had a hard time with that rolling concept and jumping up on their feet and hitting it again. So we just recently, what is it, about a month ago, we played football in the old school area, and we were just like zinging the ball around. What a great workout.
Oh, that was amazing. That was amazing. Cause we went out, you came to visit. I was at home in Wisconsin seeing my mom, and you, I, and of course, Addie went out for a walk and brought the football. And And it's fun to play with you because you were telling me all these different plays you guys used to do. Like, oh, no, this is called this, and this is who used to do it. You'd run up to here. You'd faint, you know, faint, and then keep running and then do a like, yeah, cross.
It's called the number 10. So Mr. Lewis, the coach, had all these numbers for pass plays. And I think he played at Stevens Point, but you always ask me, like, who's the best at doing these drills? And Greg, I won't mention any last names, but Greg was so amazing at the pass routes. He was so precise. And you're like, that isn't a big deal. But we were trying to run like a – you go 10 yards, you go 90 degrees, run 3 yards, and then go for the – you know, you go for the end zone again. It's like mm-hmm. It's so exhausting and, like, your hips and turning and, you know, all that stuff. You don't think about it when you're a kid, but when you're an adult, you're like, oh, this is really tough.
Well, it's the stopping and starting. And also so much in sports, like football, these plays, it's all about smoke and mirrors. Like you have to fake out your opponent all the time. So
yes.
It's constantly trying to get them to
sell
to,
it. You got to sell it.
You got to sell it. So they go one way, you go the other, and boom. And that's it's every guy's dream in football is you're wide open and there comes the pass right in there.
Well, after we were done, I shared with you on that I only watch football on YouTube. You subscribe to the NFL. I forgot what it was, but you just see all the highlights. And you have such an appreciation for these athletes, how finely tuned they are. It becomes like, oh, that's a nice catch. It's like, just go try and run a full sprint and have someone, you know, throw a football as hard as you can.
Yeah.
Like right, you know, 5 yards in front of you, and you have to accelerate to catch it. It's mm-hmm. You have an appreciation for what they do on the field. They
make and you got all these guys roaming the backfield who are all too happy to knock you down. Either
you
take
up,
the ball from you or just, bam, knock you right down.
Yeah, it's
and that's their job.
It's just one thing for us to play catch as two guys, but, you know, put a few guys out there willing to take your head off. It's like that. Man, I have such appreciation for college and pro football players, high school players too. It's such a violent sport. I like to keep it positive. I mean, I'm beat up from it, but wow, you have to be in such great shape to play that game.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and well, the one other thing I was thinking about in junior high with sports is puberty.
Well, of course.
Everyone's, you know, I remember because I bloomed really late. Yeah, you know, I bloomed in high school. So when I came to my 10-year reunion, I had grown a few inches since I graduated high school, I think. But you know, taking all that into account and training with, you know, some guys are spurting up, some are still, you know, back a little ways. And I'm sure. Hello? Funny, a call just came in. I thought the calls didn't come in.
Oh, okay.
It was my other best friend calling. He's probably jealous that this is the second podcast I've done with you.
I know. He's going to hit me when I go across the middle for a pass now.
That's right. Well, he played football also.
Oh,
but
Moose.
Yeah, junior high, I don't know. Junior high is kind of a blur as far as fitness because it becomes so much more, you know, with the puberty and so much more emotional with everything. And gym classes, I mean, gym classes were kind of the same. They started introducing like those fitness tests that we would do, like how many pull-ups could you do? How long could you dead hang on the bar?
I think it was called the presidential challenge or something to do with presidential. I remember
I think it was
presidential
passed on to all the public schools.
Yeah, the Presidential Achievement Award for Fitness or something like that. It had a different name. I'm sure it's evolved over time. But yeah, you had to do the pull-ups, the hang.
We ran on the track too. I remember we'd run, and
How far was it?
Maybe it was a 400, like one lap.
Yeah. Okay.
Can you imagine? I wrote this down, but I think about this all the time. Is, you know, now we're so aware, like, well, you and I are about, you know, how much hydration we have and what we eat. But, you know, back then I barely even have breakfast, I don't think. And then I go many hours before having lunch. I hardly ever drank water. So
I was loaded, dehydrated,
and probably, you know, having a nutrient deficiency.
I know. I think of the athlete I could have been. I mean, I was loaded with Fruity Pebbles. Like,
hey, Fruity Pebbles, you could have a burst like nothing for about 2 minutes. And then who's that over there sleeping underneath the goalpost? So that's Stefan. It's a Fruity Pebble crash.
I could have been 35% more productive if I would have had proper nutrition.
At least it's not as bad as the Fruit Loop crash of 1987. But it's true. I remember in gym classes being, you know, because that's the first part during the day when you'd be doing something really active, and then you'd have a little break, and the line, everyone would line up at the drinking fountain, and you would just, we'd be going crazy. And, you know, the old adage, if once you're thirsty, it means you're already dehydrated. So we didn't have bottles of water. I never carried a bottle of water. I never saw that at all.
It was never a trend. It was always the bubbler. So if you're from Wisconsin or the Midwest, it was always the bubbler.
The old bubbler. Yeah. And the sink where you push, I'm imitating it right now from my chair, but you push down that bar on the bottom like a pedal and the water spits out. That was neat.
It was like a U-shaped sink. It was
like a horseshoe.
Yeah, it was a horseshoe. Yeah, that was good times. And you kind of see those in London. I saw some of that. I don't know why. I don't know if that's a European thing or maybe that was something else. But anyway,
I'm not sure.
The gym, going to gym class in the middle school, the one thing that I can smell it today, and it sounds so gross, is those gym uniforms. They were the worst. It was like they were made of carpet. They're like, what was that material? It was like it didn't breathe. Like, you know what I mean? It was just, it wasn't.
When was this? I don't remember. We had uniforms?
It was 7th and 8th grade. We wore those black shorts with that orange shirt, and it was our basketball uniform, too.
Oh, yeah. I remember it was kind of a thick fiber, like maybe poly. It wasn't comfortable. It was a T-shirt for basketball.
It's like if someone took a band uniform and said, I can repurpose this and make gym shorts and a tank top out of it. It was like, it was horrible.
We all smelled really musty.
Yeah.
Come on. That's puberty, too. So all of a sudden, you know, a lot of us, you're starting to get odors that you didn't have before. Like, ooh, I smell like a man. Oh, I stink.
Right, but give yourself a chance with a breathable fabric like cotton or something,
or just a tank top. You know, like I'm wearing right now that breathes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, that's right.
It's just the evolution of fitness, right? Like they just don't have that stuff now. I mean, now my daughter gets a gym uniform, and it's like that Under Armour or Nike, the wicking properties of the shorts and everything. We didn't have that. We just had to stink, you know?
Yeah, it was okay. I don't think anyone wore deodorant back then either. I could be wrong. Maybe you just, I got, you know, my older brother's cologne stash. I'm just going to dump that on me. But that doesn't help the root cause of the BO, which is bacterial.
Exactly. Just dump some Polo or some preferred stock on yourself and you're good to go for like an hour or something.
It's like, you smell good and you stink at the same time. Bravo. It's a catch 22.
Yeah. There's the last thing about middle school that I remember is the shop teacher, not the fire teacher, could climb that rope like nobody's business.
No, our shop teacher, Mr. Howe, we can say his name, Mr. Howe, he was ripped.
Oh, yeah, he was put together, and he went up that rope like probably in 5 seconds. It was amazing.
He took care of himself. It was like a school, some big school function. You know, this whole school was there in the gym, and I remember he was shirtless and doing stuff, and I was like, what is up with this guy? This guy's a beast. We never do that. We made those little stools and stuff in shop class, but then he comes out. I'm like, why isn't he teaching? You know, coaching sports.
He has me making these ashtrays. Why am I over here like doing some kind of calisthenics with this guy?
That's right. Know? He was. Yeah, I don't remember much about him, but that left an impact. Like, man, he's ripped because you didn't see that as much back then. It was interesting because you know we didn't have a lot of weight. We didn't have weight training at that time, but also we didn't. You know, there wasn't much obesity either in the school.
Wait a minute. I want to point something out. That guy biked to school because remember he did the whole thing in shop class where he take apart a bike.
Yeah.
And he brought in his bike and I asked him he would bike from La Crosse into Wassailam when the weather was good. He would bike in.
So that's about an hour, isn't it?
It depends on where you are in La Crosse.
I don't know if the bike trail was there, but
I don't think so. He probably took like the county roads, like County B and all those things. But yeah, it probably took him an hour to 40 minutes to probably get to school and back. But
that's fantastic. I always thought it'd be cool to bike. But around here, I mean, into town, it would take a long time. It's all these windy mountain roads. It's just not really safe. And then you think going there is fine. But then after a long day of work or whatever, you got to bike home. And that's a little different, but yeah, junior high, by the way, our middle school, well, you saw it. I mean, they've added on. It's opening again, I guess, in a couple weeks, but that their sports program back in West Salem, I imagine most of them are like this now too. They are. That's why it's so fun to talk to you, Stefan, because I played sports. You know, I played like hockey and tennis and track, but you were in the football. Football is like, it's all about football. So yes. You can really compare and contrast how it was back then with what you had and then what they've built up now.
Yeah, and they film all the games, they study. We really didn't have any of that. I mean, VHS was back in the day, and you really couldn't make much of any other team other than, oh, they're going left or right. But now it's, you know, everything's high definition and 4K, and just how the training is also set up. When you go into the weight room in the high school, it's amazing. I mean, our weight room, we had like one bench and one like universal machine from the 70s.
Yeah, I think we'll have to do a separate podcast just on the high school weight room. By the way, this is the second podcast. Do you hear that? I hear this little sound going through my earphones. Do you hear anything, Stefan?
Well, I'm outside and there's these, I think they're called cicadas.
Uh-huh.
When it's hot out, they make that noise with their legs. Maybe that's what you're hearing.
Go inside.
Oh,
maybe I it sounds like something tinny. I don't know. I've been kind of pacing around the dining room here a little bit. There's a deer I'm looking at lying right underneath my deck. I thought maybe she had something to do with it, but I guess not. He keeps looking at me. I'm like, yeah, I see you.
Well, I'm going inside now. Am I?
Yeah, that was it. That was it. I kept hearing that. And I didn't know if it was something tinny, but yeah, whatever. This is the early stages of the podcast. If we have a little audio insect background music, that's okay.
Hey, the cicadas, they were working out too.
I like that word, cicada.
I think that's how you say it, right? They're really a big, ugly bug.
It's a Midwest summer sound. Actually, I love that sound. Just through my earphones, it sounded a little, I couldn't, like, where is that coming from? You know, I'm up at 8,000 feet too, so there are things that can block it.
Yeah, so our listeners that aren't from the Midwest or never heard these bugs, Google cicada and you'll freak out. These things are really big and you can't see them. You're like, what's that? Where's that noise coming from?
It's a general din. It's like a background din. Like when I drive from Colorado and I stop in Nebraska to get gas, all of a sudden, boom, I hear it.
Right away. I thought maybe it was I have four boys over here playing Fortnite. I thought maybe it was like the audio was being compressed or something because all the carnage going on in the other room.
You have no idea all the carnage happening right there in your house.
Right. Well, I thought that's why I went outside to escape the you're flanking, you know, all the commands and whatnot. But I'll go in the basement.
Well, I hear you fine now. Okay. I don't even know if anyone would have heard that, but.
Okay.
I'm a real stickler for sound. That's how I am, I think, from theater and stuff. It's like, ooh, sound. But so we're getting around about 40 minutes. Maybe we'll wrap this one up. Because as I said, this topic, I mean, we talk about it anyway. We talk about it for hours. And I'd like to get into the high school years because that's like formidable.
Oh yeah. That's when you really start hitting it, when it becomes an afterthought. You're thinking about workouts or you're thinking about getting bigger.
Oh, absolutely. You start growing and all of a sudden, you know, and we, you know, as we say, we're trying to, what we want to do is talk about how we saw it. It's hard to speak for other people because everybody has different goals, but the high school weight room, which we can do probably 15 minutes on how interesting that place was and what a learning experience, not just for ourselves, but watching how everybody else started getting into weight training.
Right. Well, I think this would be like a good two-part series, like part one. You didn't know you were working out or working out without even knowing it. And then part two, you're trying to achieve something, but in high school or whatever, if you don't have a good coach or we didn't have YouTube or anything, you're just throwing a bunch of weights around. You don't know what you're doing.
Well, so. you're going in. I mean, what I always said about I want muscles, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger in Pumping Iron. He walks into Pumping Iron, yes. Oh, everyone should watch that. Because Gold's Gym in Venice Beach is back in, I think, 1975. And it looks like kind of a big high school weight room. I love it. I think, I love going back to that. Because you can use there's so many uses for all these old, you know, machines and dumbbells and weights. And he walks in, and he's Arnold. He's already won Mr. Olympia five times. I think he goes, I'd like to stop building some muscles. You know, and then they start training. But you're absolutely right. As a kid, grade school, you don't think, I mean, muscles might be cool, but I remember we had a barbell and some dumbbells at the house, maybe when I was like 8 to 10 years old. And I remember reading, or I got Arnold's bodybuilding manual, that epic Bible for bodybuilders. And I was like, wow, I want big muscles. And I do a few dumbbell curls and I just get kind of bored. And then I want to go outside and play. But then in high school, all of a sudden there's a purpose and there's a goal, a definite goal. And you would actually go into this, because our weight room was down in the basement of the high school, this dank little bunker, to spend time, you know, blasting Van Halen 1984, which was marvelous, and working out with all these guys.
But it was amazing. Well, we'll leave it for the second segment when the ladies would come into the weight room. Then guys would start really like herking and jerking weights and grunting and
well, it's like in Caddyshack. All right, the last visual here is Caddyshack when Lacey Underall walks on the pool deck and all the guys suck in their stomachs
and stick out their chests.
But you know, we all train for something different. I'll leave it at this. I keep saying that, but there's one girl in particular that in high school I started lifting weights. Like she has no idea, I don't think. But I went out with her a few times. We saw What About Bob together. But I'll talk more about her in the next one.
Oh,
but that was my inspiration, my impetus to start, you know, I got to get some bigger arms here. So she goes, hey, I didn't notice you before, but look at those biceps.
But I think that's true with everybody, though. You always have a goal. If it's ridiculous or if it's actually well-sounded, like I just want to have general health. Everyone has a goal when you get to a certain age. And
absolutely.
And it changes. It's a moving target. It should never be the same. And I think that's the second part of this episode that you look at that. So
I taught a class this morning. It was a power yoga Pilates one. And it was packed. We were having a great time flowing, beating them up. And I started talking about that because I just monologue the whole time and I interact with them, kind of like Don Rickles. I say funny things with them. We laugh. But it was about what kind of visuals do you get when you work out? What is propelling you forward? Because words are words, but what is the big mythic visual that you are getting? And what is it tied to? I love that kind of stuff. But that's for a whole nother discussion.
Okay.
And that never stops. Those discussions never stop. Movement never stops. Fitness never stops. It always keeps going. And God bless it.
Well, I do want to point out one thing that you mentioned to me after you got some feedback from your podcast, that people were giving you comments. So we highly want you to give feedback, either audio comments or you can type in comments. On the Anchor
and share
app.
Share it with people that you think might benefit or enjoy the conversation.
Yeah, no, it's I just wanted to put that out there.
Well, you may put that out there. I'm glad you put that out there. I was just watching The Office. I sound like I'm on The Office now. Okay. All right. Well, we'll work on branding this episode. We'll get a good title and we'll make it a two-parter, because these are themes that are with us all the time, through every day, how we see our workouts and how we see health and fitness.
You were fit and you didn't even know it, right?
Exactly. You're so money. You're so money.
Exactly. Well, always a pleasure talking with you.
Absolutely, Sean. My good man. Again, thank you, Stefan, for being on the podcast. And Stefan has his own podcast. I inspired him, or he inspired me. It works beautiful both ways. And in the description for this podcast down below, you can sign up for his or subscribe to his. As of now, my podcast and yours, they're now on Spotify. So check out Spotify.
Stitcher.
Stitcher, is that what it's called?
Well, no. So when you do Anchor, it like fans out to several of the podcast entities. Pocket Cast, Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, or Google Play. Music. But I think you pick it up on Google Music. It's a Google Play account, but you as a audience listener, you would get it on Google Music. And there's a couple more, but that's kind of the meat of it. So I just want to point that out in case you're not using Anchor, or you have a friend that doesn't have Anchor and they want to listen in. There's other mediums to do so.
Well, yeah, it'll be everywhere, which is great. I love that. So whatever you're comfortable listening to your podcast on, type in Sean Vieg or type in Fitness Unleashed with Sean. I'm actually going up to the loft after we got off the phone to make some graphics for the podcast. That's always fun, you know, the branding. But thank you again, Stefan. I hope I didn't say you know very often. I
don't no, think I did. You didn't. And I'm really trying not to say That's a tough one for
me. This is so good for me. This is so good for me. And for both of us. I love exchanging ideas like this. And keep checking back to the podcast. I'll be doing some solo ones. I'm bringing on a lot of different diverse guests from all over. And of course, Stefan is now, his contract states, he is a reoccurring guest.
Excellent. What's the pay?
I'll pay you in planks.
Very good. Excellent. All right. Well, thank you, my friend. I always have fun with
absolutely talking and with you. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Don't be a stranger. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.